She Speaks Sport, the podcast for women fluent in sport.
I am very, very excited today to be joined by an incredible woman that I honestly just love following. Journalist, broadcaster, MC, TV presenter, everything else. And I'm going to tell you a little bit about her. But before I do that, Kate Ullman is joining me today, all the way out from Australia. So a little bit of different time zones here, but totally filled with so much passion for sport and also for commentary, which we're going to be talking about a lot today. And especially as women in commentary spaces, it is vitally important that we talk about that. So Kate, it's so good to have you with me today. Welcome to the show. I hope that you're having an amazing day. And that things have been going great for you. So thank you so much for being here.
Well, day's only just got better since meeting you online here, Lauren. Thanks so much for inviting me.
It's such a pleasure. And I know that everybody can't see you. But I'm going to share some pictures of you. And I just want to say, I really told Kate that she looks like Elise Perry, which is not a bad thing. She gets it all the time.
I'll take that as a massive compliment. Yeah, I'll definitely take that. I'm not sure Elise Perry would be happy, but hey, I'll take it. I actually... a couple of times I've been mistaken for her at airports. And yeah, once I was taking a trophy to Melbourne from Sydney on a plane, and my Uber driver thought it was the T20 World Cup. It was a hockey trophy. It definitely wasn't the World Cup, but I wish it was. Anyway, I've had some funny conversation. My husband actually said the same thing, that I look like Elise Perry when we first met. So Elise Perry, stay away from my husband.
It's not a bad thing, not a bad thing at all. And yeah, you'll take it every single day. And you don't know, she might be stoked that, you know, that people are saying that, you know, you look like her and she looks like you. Maybe you never know. I'd love to see you two together in a photo. Maybe one day it will happen. We'll get that moment.
Yeah, well, I'll try and organize it from my end and I'll send it to you.
Oh, thank you so much. Well, just so that we all know who Kate is, she is incredible. She has a huge range of experience across TV, print, online media. She's also worked as an editor, reporter, producer, and she is a female host and play-by-play commentator on live sports broadcasts. And she's currently calling the Australia's top-tier football or soccer league, and the A-League Women and Field Hockey League, Hockey One. And she also is a host and MC, which she does a lot of. She's also very passionate about traveling, which we have in common. And she writes about a lot of travel realities for different publications in Australia and internationally. And she's also on the board of the Kennedy Foundation for Journalism. She's a director and co-founder of Equal Pay for Equal Play. Tell us about Equal Pay for Equal Play before I get into commentating. Tell us a bit about that, because that sounds really amazing. I've looked it up a bit, but just for the listeners, what is this all about?
Yeah, for sure. Well, it's exactly as it sounds, equal pay for equal play for women in sport. So yeah, it's basically a couple of years ago, a friend of mine and I started this campaign off the back of an experience that she had. Now, she's a surfer, a longboarder, and won a competition that was held in Sydney in 2021. And she was surfing on the same day as the men. The men had a competition running at the same time, kind of same day, heat after heat. And she won the women's competition, and there was a male winner in the men's side. And at the end of the day, they were both presented with checks, and the men's winner was presented with a check that was more than two times the size of her check. So my friend's name is Lucy Small. She's like a massive activist and such an inspiring person as well. Anyway, we met and I interviewed her. We actually became friends because I interviewed her for this story about it. And it just made us both so mad. In the end, I wrote a story about it, and we ended up kind of getting enough attention that the Board Writers Club paid Lucy the extra cash that was not paid, and they evened it out. So they had the same prize money as the men. But we had discussed this, and I did a lot of legal reporting when I started journalism. I'm also a qualified lawyer. I did a law degree. So Not many people know that, but I found it very frustrating that our equality laws don't cover sporting events. So discrimination law, usually in an employment situation, would prevent that from happening. You can't pay in Australia a man different to a woman for the same job. But here we have a sports competition where they're doing exactly the same job and getting paid different prize money. And it turns out prize money and sporting competitions are not considered employment. So we went about trying to find ways to lobby for the government to change that and hopefully create equal pay for equal play. And we've had a few wins along the way. The government's not gone so far as changing the law, but that did happen in California. So there is a precedent internationally. In California, sporting events must pay equal prize money to men and women when they're held on Californian soil. So that's what we're aiming for eventually. And we're sort of getting along the road, but it's so slow progress, as you can understand. For some reason, there are people that don't believe in those things. So none of your listeners, I don't think. But and also politicians are so slow to make change. They don't want to do anything too progressive too quickly. So it's just about kind of getting inch by inch. And we've had a few wins. So far, a lot of councils have agreed to implement that kind of rule so that clubs who are seeking council funding will have to ensure they are equal prize money. So there's a sort of positive way we can go about it by ensuring that only clubs or sporting organisations that offer equality will receive funding from government, and that's what we're going for.
Wow. Kate, I want to say that this is incredible, and I'm so grateful that you ladies are doing this, because recently it is incredible, because it's, you know, pretty the same here in South Africa. And recently one of my friends sent me a picture of when a men's team was presented with the winning prize money of a long process of matches that had been played, and the winning team got X amount, and then sent the picture of the women's team who had played the exact same amount of matches, put in the exact same amount of work, and they got, for the whole thing, and it was months long, you know, a third of what the men, and that weren't even in Division One. Those men were in Division Two, which, you know, was a lower division than the women were, and that team got three times the amount. And we all sat there kind of, you know, there's that silence you have for a few seconds because you're like trying to figure out how to respond in a healthy manner, because you just feel all those frustrating feelings and you go, what is this about? And why does this still exist? Why is this still the reality? And so this is important work that you are doing, and we need more people that do this kind of work even around the world, because we see this consistently and in different sports as well. So this is really cool. And like you said, celebrating the small wins, which I'm going to say is really what I'm saying today. I'm celebrating the small wins that you ladies have had as well. And it's something that needs to change. We don't talk about this enough, and especially in the sporting area. Like, this is work. Like, sport is work for many people. And people have this idea that if you play sports, you get paid a lot of money. There is many people that think that, you know, especially when you think about rugby, for example, especially in South Africa, some athletes do, but not female athletes. It's different, you know, so this is some people's livelihood, and it's important that we advocate for equal pay, for equal play, because that's what's happening. So that's really, really cool. I'm grateful for what you're doing. So I want to know a little bit.
Thank you so much for saying that. That's really kind of you.
Well, it's a pleasure, and I really do mean it. I really mean it. And I would love to know from you about commentary, the commentary space, because that is a big thing. And we talk about getting more women into commentary, which we'll get to. But how did you get into commentary? Like, it is very specific. When people meet ladies that are in commentary, I don't know how it is in South Africa, but commentary on any sport, they go, wow, like, did you play sport? How well do you know sport? You know, there's a lot of questions that you get asked, like, oh, you're a woman in commentary. How did this happen for you?
Yeah. I get all those questions. And I think it's an interesting career, because it's not like there's a course for it and there's no one telling you at high school that this is an option. And it's certainly a pretty niche option, and there's not too many opportunities. You really do have to ask for them. So I started by playing, well, I've always played hockey. I was never like an incredible hockey player, but just loved it. And I guess I realized at some point I wasn't going to the Olympics, but I am a sports journalist and I always loved talking. And at some point, someone at our club, we live broadcast our Sydney Hockey League games. So I live in Sydney in Australia, and that's probably the top, probably one of the top leagues for Australian hockey for women and men. Before you go into the national team. So we've got a couple of hockey roos that have come through our club, and we started broadcasting the games, and someone was looking for women commentators because they had so many guys that wanted to do it. And someone suggested me, and I guess I thought I'd give it a go. And if not me, then who? Someone's going to do it, and some women have to start. So someone's giving you an opportunity. I've always said, it doesn't matter how you get there or how the doors open, just step through it. So I go for it. And I absolutely loved it. That was a few years ago now, and started calling local hockey in Sydney and progressed pretty quickly. Started doing, I guess, the expert analysis. There's a lead commentator and an expert. And I started doing the expert on our national hockey league called Hockey One. There's a couple of South Africans who play, or former South Africans.
Oh, cool.
And then but I'd always loved being the lead commentator in local hockey. And so I think that's where you have an opportunity. If you're not necessarily the best ever hockey player, you can call the play-by-play. Or if you're not, usually the expert is a former player who was at the peak of the sport. And that is totally makes sense, because you want the best sports player to be that expert. But the play-by-play is something women haven't traditionally done.
Yeah.
And I really wanted to do that. So I started doing hockey. Then I progressed into football. I started doing the A-League Women's, which is our top flight football or soccer league in Australia. We have the A-League Men's and the A-League Women's. And both are specifically called that so that they'll be treated equally, which is good. A-League. And then, I started a whole bunch of sports. So I have recently done swimming. I've recently done flag football, which is cool. It's going to be an Olympic sport. So gridiron's non-tackle version. And, it's kind of gone from there. But behind all of that, is – I was a journalist for many years. I reported on sport. I learned how TV worked. I had been a producer. There's a lot that goes in, I guess, that is assumed knowledge that helped me progress and helped open those doors. But I think it came back to, loving the talking. And I remember clearly one of my teachers in high school had said, written on my report card, could talk underwater with a mouthful of marbles.
Oh my gosh.
And I sent it to her when I got the job, and I said, at least now I'm getting paid for it. So that was my art teacher.
Yeah, I'm glad you sent it to you. I'm glad you sent it to her, though, because honestly.
Yeah, we stay in touch. She's really cool. Yeah, she loved it.
That is amazing. How did you go from commentating on hockey to going over to swimming? Because was swimming something that you knew a lot about, or did you approach it from a perspective of going, I'm going to research the heck out of it, I'm going to know really well? Because people that I've met consider commentating as something that maybe you just know. They don't realize that you actually have something called commentator's notes and you do a lot of research. You have you just said it. You have to be well prepared.
So much. Like this, one A-League game, I will be preparing for two full days at least. I watch the previous games. I read up on all the different players. There might be news about the team that I have to be across. There's international sort of context that you have to know. And definitely I've always found that that is so underestimated, so thank you for saying that. But I guess as background for you, as in school I did every sport, and I was pretty good at swimming. I made state teams and so on, and never took it further than that. And I sort of did every sport. Like I was the captain of swimming, captain of athletics, captain of hockey.
That's cool.
It sounds ridiculous, but in high school I was you know, did everything, pretty good at everything. Never next level because I think I did everything, but loved it all. And so I love sport and I've always just kept watching it. And as a journalist as well, you would know this, you have to be across a lot of different sports and you have to be a bit of a licorice all sports and know all of them. But certainly even my inherent knowledge, I had to level up. And every time I'm going into a call, I've done so many hours of research before, and I think people do underestimate that. They're like, oh, you just go in and you like talk, and no. And you'll hear it. If a commentator has not done their research, it's not going to be as entertaining and informative. And likewise, if they have, you're going to love it. And you may not necessarily be able to like pinpoint what exactly you like about them, but they'll sound authoritative and more entertaining, and you'll come away with little tidbits that you might not have known otherwise about players or the sport.
Yeah. And I love that you mentioned that. And one of the things I've seen that we're living in a generation where people want to know more about the athletes that they're watching. I know like my parents, my mom, I mean, she was like a cricket fundi when I was growing up. Like I always said that I was breastfed on cricket because I was literally breastfed on cricket. Like my mom, like if the guys were playing in Australia, I mean, my mom was up like it's a horrendous time. Like we have to be up 2, 3 a.m. in the morning to watch the games, right? Because of that time difference. So that my mom was that person. She was up, you know, 2, 3 a.m. in the morning.
Your mom and I can be friends. That's great.
I think so. And she, you know, but the way she remembers cricket commentating the way that it was like when I was, this was like maybe like 20 years ago. And the way that it is like commentating the way that it is today, it's vastly different. It's not just, oh, you know, they're hitting over mid, you know, mid cover, whatever it is. It is now people want to know more about the athletes. And I think social media has done that where we want more engagement. We want to know tidbits about, like you said, the person's life or a reality. You know, we get excited when we are so-and-so just got engaged or whatever. And it's not just, and this is something that, you know, you've probably experienced as well. Sometimes people go, oh, women watch sport for the guys. You know, they watch football because you just want to see the guys. Really? I mean, that is still a friend of mine was talking to me about that, and she always loved Portugal. Like she supported the team, and she's like, I genuinely didn't support it for Ronaldo. But she said, I started to hate football because everybody told me I was watching for him. And it wasn't. I knew all the players. I knew exactly what they were doing when it was offside. I knew exactly what was happening. And people made me hate sport because they said, you're a girl. You only watch for male players. And I'm sure you've heard that as well. And it's such an old mindset. But the way that we commentate today is very different from how we were doing.
It's funny actually you say that because I on a couple of weeks ago, I won't say what event or what sport, but I was commentating a sport, and I was there and I showed up with my male commentator who was the expert, and I was the lead commentator calling the play-by-play. And I think everyone just assumes that you're not like, I don't know, I think they just assumed I was the coffee girl because the CEO went directly to the man and spoke to him and said, welcome, like, great to have you, blah, blah, blah. And he had to introduce me as the main commentator. And it just immediately without even anything being said, I just knew I was being overlooked and been sort of like cast aside. It's happened multiple times where I've not been there's just an assumption that you're not the important one in the sports world, I guess. And it can be communicated without even words. And in that situation, it was so obvious that it was a surprise that I would be the lead commentator. And fortunately, I did a great job and got really good feedback. And they were very pleased with the job I did. But that does happen. But also, you say that the commentary has changed. I do think that there is more of, I mean, that's partly related to what we're watching sport on as well. Like those old commentators, the cricket commentators your mum used to watch probably came out of a radio background. And if you think about radio, you have to describe everything to the listener because they cannot see it. But in TV, it's progressed a lot to understanding that viewers are smart and they can see what's going on. They want addition to the the viewing. They want more information. And you're right, they can get everything on social media. So what can you leave them with that is different or new that you only you would know about a player or about, you know, the pregame or an injury that you were there sidelined to see that you can give them? And that's kind of what I always try to do is find a tidbit or a gold nugget, at least one that the viewer didn't know before.
Yeah. I love that you said that, Kate. And I think that people underestimate who is watching commentary. Like, people generally don't think, like, as a commentator, you understand there's a lot of different people watching commentary. And also sometimes players' families are actually watching, you know, they might not be at the game. All the time. And I remember it was really cool because I had this cool experience last year where there was this one player. We have one player on our domestic cricket team who is actually from overseas. And she came to me like quite a while afterwards, and I'd known quite a bit about her because I'd been privileged enough to have an interview with her just before the game. It just so happened. So I knew quite a bit of her life, which is really quite cool. And she said to me that her parents were watching from where they were, and they kept asking, who is this lady that knows so much about you? And they thought it was really cool because people don't really talk about her as much because she's an international player. She doesn't play, you know, she's now here, but people are still getting used to the idea that she's actually not from here. They don't even know that. So people underestimate, there's a lot of people who are listening to the commentary, watching, who know the players really well. So as commentators, that's why we do research and why there is a lot on you. You're not just pitching up and going, oh, wow, you know, I've got like a beer in hand, I'm going to watch the game. I'm just going to call it as I see it.
It'd be a bit easier, wouldn't it, that way?
It would totally. No.
Yeah, and that's something that I'm always thinking of, Lauren. The greatest respect I want to show for the athletes is that I know them and their families. And if I am... if they are pleased with the commentary, that is the most important thing because they know it better than anyone. And as long as, you know, that they are feeling like there's someone who knows the sport and has taken the time to know it, that's what I want.
And that's so true. And I want to know from you, you know, just honestly, because you mentioned some of it while we were talking, there's been a lot of things that you yourself have heard, right? There's a lot of things that people say to women on commentary. It's like one of the most popular is obviously your voice is very high pitched, or your voice is like,
I mean, I feel very lucky that I have had a lot of supportive people in my circle that haven't. I mean, you get the social media trolls. That's just a part of territory. And that can, if you're not prepared for it, sort of impact you more than you expect. I think it's more that you've got to be aware that what's coming and that their opinions don't matter or to sort of disregard and block as soon as you can. I remember one time there was a comment on like a YouTube clip that I had featured on, and I have like one tooth that's dead in the front of my bottom jaw, and you don't often see it because I usually don't show my bottom teeth. One of the comments was rotten tooth, and just rotten tooth. And I got really self-conscious about that. And I kind of, I think it made me change how I speak on camera probably, and that's fine. But some people just say things without any context, and it might be something that you're already self-conscious about. Yeah. And it just strikes a nerve, and they get you at the wrong time, and you can be in tears about it. And I think in commentary, the most common, as you say, is that you have a high voice, or maybe someone like me, I have a low voice. So, oh, good God forbid that a woman might have a lower pitched voice than other women. And, you know, everything can be criticized. Even if you're giving fair analysis of a team, if the team is losing, generally those team supporters hate you because, you know, cause them to lose or you aren't fair or... you do have to have pretty thick skin, especially as a woman in this game. And I've noticed, and I think I wrote about it in that article, a commentary piece for The Guardian that you read, is that the hardest thing is that, you know, that men do the same job and say the same thing as you did and probably wouldn't get the same backlash as you are, because there is that misogyny that still exists in sport, and the viewers can be pretty mean in a gender-based way.
And that's absolutely true what you're saying. And I'm glad that you mentioned that sport still, as we would agree, has a long way to go. Yeah, it still is there. And speaking of that Guardian article that you wrote, which I wanted to touch on, I thought it was so cool because obviously I've actually got it open in front of me. And it was all about history making and the all-female football commentary lineup that was going to happen that you were part of. So I know that you wrote the article and it came out on Thursday, the 29th of February. So for people who are listening, I'm actually going to link it. I'm going to link it in our podcast so you can read it because it's fantastic. How was it to be part of this? I mean, you wrote it leading up to what was going to happen. Now you're on the other side of that. And of course, there's so much that goes on with this. You know, there's also allyship that we talk about here, having an amazing producer that's forward thinking as well, and having men in that space that's creating opportunities, that also is realizing what the present is and what the future is for women in sport. How was it though being part of this all female commentary for the first time in this setup? And it was history in the making, and it's been made now, and you're part of that.
Oh, it was awesome. I mean, that's so cool that it happened so relatively quickly in my lifetime. I've gone from, I think in about, you know, in a decade really, we've gone from not having very many, many women on screens on TV at all, whether playing or on commentary, to now, you know, in February, having an all-female commentary team. It's only been in the last decade we even heard female commentators. There's the play-by-play commentators. We've heard of experts, but the lead caller is something that's really revolutionary and still very uncommon. So I'm so proud of the A-League women here, that the A-League was forward thinking enough to say, hey, we've got to start somewhere and we're going to do it this way. And then you mentioned the great producers or allies that come along the way. And really, my producer, Dan Hemingway, he was the one who came up with the idea. He, as soon when we first met, had said to me, my goal is to have an all-female commentary and an all-female production team. And I said, well, you know, that would put you out of a job. And he said, that would be my greatest honor. And so, you know, he got halfway there. He got the whole female commentary team. And that just speaks volumes to young girls who are listening in to see the career that I never had thought of, to women and men watching, who it just becomes a more inclusive space when you hear different voices, and not just in gender, in diverse races, in different accents. Through commentary, you can include people in a way that you would underestimate how big that impact is. Mm. But I mean, you and I growing up, Lauren, never heard women commentating sport, and that was normal. But it's sort of, if we had heard a woman commentating a cricket match, maybe you would have thought, oh, wow, this is a space for women and it's okay for me to be here, and it's okay and it's actually encouraged that I be part of this. And so there's that subliminal message that when you have a women's voice or women's face on it, it becomes inclusive. And I think that's the key aspect of it, in terms of any voice works well on commentary. It doesn't, you don't have to have high pitch, low voice, whatever. It's got to be accessible, in terms of, it's got to be clear. But people actually really like listening to differences. That's why on a radio show you'll hear a man and a woman, or you'll hear different accents, because people love to hear variety, because when you're only listening to audio, there's not much else you can do. You can't see them. You have to hear the variety. So I think, like, it's not only great for the bank and for the production of sport, because it gives you that variety, but it provides the inclusivity that is going to grow the sport's viewership and the audience and everyone involved. So, I mean, even from just a purely business sense, having women in commentary is the smartest thing sports could really do right now.
Absolutely. Amen, 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 amen. It's like you're taking us to church. Preaching. No, but totally. No, it is exactly true what you're saying. And we never saw that growing up. Like, I never heard, I mean, I don't even have to think about it. I never heard a female on those cricket games. Never. I mean, it wasn't even thought of, you know. It wasn't even a thought in people who were watching. It wasn't even in their mind of like, what is this? Or should there be a change? It was just like, this is accepted. And like you said, most of those commentators came from a radio background and were doing radio at the same time as what they were doing commentary. Whereas we've kind of been moving out of that phase, well, particularly in South Africa, I know that maybe it's different around the world. And now people here in South Africa are talking about, hey, wanting commentary back on the radio, actually, because there are a lot of people because of people don't have access to cable here or satellite, or they don't have access to TVs because of where they live. So bringing radio to them and radio commentary is actually still important. It's something that we don't actually think of a lot. And people are starting to think about it again and go, how do we bring sport to people who can't afford the luxury? Because here in South Africa, you have to have, you know, paid for really expensive cable to be able to watch sport, and even to watch cricket. You have to pay the premium for the premium subscription, otherwise you can't watch it. So how do you bring that to half of a population that doesn't even have a job, who want to be able to listen to cricket? They're not going to be able to listen or go to a stadium. So how do we bring it to them? Through radio. So it's like we have to be thinking of those things. And you mentioned diversity, which is so important. So Kate, I wanted to say in closing, for someone that's listening to us, because you said it so well earlier on, there is no course for commentary. Like, you can't be a woman that pitches up and goes, I'm going to take a woman, woman in leadership commentary course. There isn't anything. Maybe you'll develop one for us one day.
Yeah, maybe. That's a good idea.
Yeah, it would be
there
cool.
There is no way. There's no straightforward path into this industry, as hard as that is. But you have to be your own cheerleader. I think someone said to me once, like, bet on yourself and ensure that you don't lose. And you've got to be pretty proactive. You've got to ask for opportunities, and you can start in your local leagues. If you love cricket, cricket's not necessarily my sport, but if you love cricket, go and ask who is streaming. There's a likelihood that you guys are streaming your local leagues or the state leagues. You'd be streaming it somewhere. Say, hey, can I commentate, and offer to do it for free at the start, and just keep building up reps and practice. You've got to get as much practice as you can, and then just kind of go to the next level and ask for the next opportunity. At every point, you have to ask for opportunities, but also surround yourself with people who you can learn from. I learned from some wonderful men, some wonderful producers. Every time a door has opened, we talk about allies, it's been a man who has stepped aside to give me the opportunity. So there are so many men that want to see this happen as well. And they want women to be part of sport, and they want women in the room in commentary. And there's been men that literally stepped aside so that I could get that opportunity. And I can't be more grateful to them, but I've learned from them so many things as well. Being able to even just watch and be in the room with more experienced people is key. As for anything else, it's a bit of luck, a bit of talent, but a whole lot of hard work. And that's what life is, really. It's 90% hard work. So if you do that, then you put yourself in an 80% position for the final 20%. So I think you can maximize your chances that way.
Thank you so much, Kate, for sharing that as well. And I love how you wrap that up as well. It's a lot of hard work, and it's good to put in that hard work. And of course, this is like going to empower someone else, because they can hear you as well in commentary and go, hey, you know what, this is a viable career maybe for me one day. And so thank you for representing that, but for also all the hard work that you're doing and every single thing that you're doing, not only on commentary, but behind the scenes, all the planning, all the research, all the work that you do. And thank you so much for just shining so brightly in this field. And thank you for being with me today. It's been amazing.
Oh, Lauren, right back at you. If there were not women like you shining light on individuals and different careers and all the great things that women in sport are doing, there would be very few avenues. So every single podcast you're doing adds to all of that and the work that we do. And I can't thank you enough for giving people like me and others a platform. So thank you.
You've been listening to the She Speaks Sport podcast. Find us on your favorite podcast app. like Apple, Google, CastBox, and Spotify. Subscribe and like to stay updated on all new episodes. Thanks for listening.